Ooh, that's scary. Guess I'm the only one here. So
Alan, whenever you're ready to share sheets, we're ready.
Hot search, you're right. Yeah.
Really? Okay, just share screen, right?
Yep.
Post disabled attendee share screen.
Oh, hold on.
Allow me to do that.
I'll make you. Making you host.
Okay. Oh, wow, look at all this power.
Wow, unbelievable. Do not desecrate the host.
That's not original, is it? Okay, sharing the screen, right?
And look at that, how fan.
Oh, check out, check, wow.
Oh, wait. Where did I find you?
There, somewhere. Where I just want to make sure. Can you see him okay? Because we can't check.
There's got to be a way to check. It's coming.
Am I the only one on? I
mean, no. You... Yeah.
Oh,
can you see Rabbi Raff?
I can see Rabbi Raff.
There is, but when you click participants, it's not going anywhere.
I can go like this.
That's why.
But still, there should be a way to do it. Come on.
Oh, I know.
There it is. Shine. Anyway, like me and that me.
Yes. We need to get a better last year's version of this photo.
Okay, I think that's good. As long as I don't breathe. Okay. All right. We are ready.
I'll go back on the question. Not to prolong it, but why not so?
Kachaze.
Okay. I mean, it's not the time of year, or you know, it's not.
No. I guess it's what she had.
Okay. Very good. She wanted it to happen quickly.
Well, that's it. Listen, he was pretty hungry. All right, we are going to try perhaps today to do two chapters. I don't know if we're going to pull it off. The first chapter is on the short side, and we just do one. Then Patty sits there and she kvetches afterwards, and she says, "That's it. We don't have any more this week." You know how she gets. So we're gonna try for two. Marsha's been reading ahead again. She can get herself into big trouble. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just review for ourselves where we're up to. So the don't breathe so much. So that two chapters ago, we discussed that David had realized that staying in Israel was not a good move. It's very dangerous for him to be there. So because of that, he decided he's going to shuffle off to the land of the Philistines. And when he's at the land of the Philistines, you know, he'll be saved there. And he cozies up to the Achish. Achish, who was one of the major players there. And Achish, in fact, had him become very close. He stays in the city called Siklag. And
he lies to him,
right. He said to the head of the Philistines.
He lies.
Right, because he wants them to believe, right, that he has given up on the Israelites, and you know everyone knows Shaul's trying to kill him, and he doesn't want to deal with this anymore. So therefore, he says, "That's it, I'm done with them." And Achish believes that David is attacking the Israelites and bringing back to him booty from the spoils of those battles. In fact, he isn't. He's attacking other local tribes, wiping them out and bringing the stuff back. Right? So that's what he does. We took a break for one chapter and we shifted back to Shaul. Shaul was in deep trouble. The Philistines are about to attack. So because of that, he doesn't know where to turn. So he turns to
a woman.
Never a smart move. Right? A balas ov, a sorceress. Sorceress, I think would be the a sorcerer. And she maybe doesn't manage to bring Shmuel back from the dead, and Shaul gets the message that his time is up. His time is up, and as of tomorrow, It's the end. You're going to go to war. We now shift back to David. That's where we are in chapter 29. So we start by saying, "Vayikutzu plishim es kol machaneim afeka, v'Yisrael chonim va'ayin asher b'Yisrael." You probably don't remember this, but back in, I think it was Perek Dalet, there was a great battle of Afek. We had a little video about it. You might have remembered that Afek was the city that was right next to Rosh Ha'ayin, what we call nowadays, right? That is this, because there are two major trade routes going through the land of Israel. One is the coastal route, and the other is the mountain route, right? The coastal route in the west, and then you have the mountain route to the east. At the point when the Yarkon River cuts in to Israel, so obviously the coastal route gets bent in, right? And it goes up into what was called Rosh Ha'ayin, to the beginning of the water source. And at that point, basically, both of the trade routes are within a kilometer of each other. So whoever controls that area controls the entire north-south trade route. So that's where we are right now. We're at Afek, we're at that point, and the Plishtim are getting ready for war, right? The Plishtim have come up from Gaza, and the Israelites are at basically Rosh Ha'ayin.
Would they have come on the northern, the western route, or the eastern route?
They would have come on the eastern route, on the western, sorry, the western route, because they are Gaza, they are on the Mediterranean.
Okay.
So that's the way they made their way up there. V'sarni plishtim ovim l'meyos l'alofim v'dovin ha'oshim ovim b'achroni machish. So the plishtim, there's hundreds and thousands of them. They're coming over. And David is in the back. He's not the front lines. He's with the king. Right? So he's in the back of the lines. Now, David's going to find himself now in a very uncomfortable position, right? Because they're going to expect him to fight against the Jews. And that's not good.
Not going to do that.
Right, so what are we going to, right? And here he is, he's right next to the king. You can't fake it. So, Gimel, Vayomru Sarei Plishtim, Maha Avrim Ha'ela, Vayomar Achishal Sarei Plishtim, Halo Zed David, Evid Shalom about Melch Yisrael, Asher Haya Iti Zed Yamim O Zed Shanim, Omatsasi Bomu Uma Biyom Nafo Ada Yomazer. So, this is my good friend David. You know David, yes? David, right hand man to Shaul. Been with me for the longest time. He's been perfect. How long has he been with him? What does the pasuk say? Either days or years. Can you make up your mind? Who remembers how long he has been with him?
I don't
remember. Yes. Can't recall. I think you have to unmute yourself. You know how to do that?
It says 4 months, 2 days and 4 months.
Correct. Exactly. We saw that two chapters ago, right? Two chapters ago. And we right? Because two chapters ago, if you just want to turn back a little bit and look at what the Kanta correctly points to, right? There was, I think, let's find the pasuk. Let's see if we can.
We're talking 27, yes?
We're talking 27, yes. 27:7, I hear from the crowd.
Excellent. Educated girl.
Correct.
Yes. There it is.
So it says, right? It says, days and 4 months. Now, if you remember at the time, we had the discussion, what does days and 4 months mean? Right? If we look at number one on the sheet that we have today, I just repeated what we had from two weeks ago. And it says Yamim va'arba chodeshim miyut yamim shnayim, just like Cantor Cole said, 2 days. 2 days, and he says sometimes the word yamim means years, we said, right? So that's impossible because there only are 4 months from the time Shmuel dies until the time Shaul dies.
My only question is, I understand it's not one day, so it's got to be at least two. How come we don't know? Three, it could be seven. How come?
Because again, if it was more than that, right, we can only assume the minimum. If it was more than that, the Torah would have had to tell us. In this case, the Navi.
Okay.
Right? So Rashi at the time says, yeah, if you do the math and you figure it out, now we went through it at length 2 weeks ago, it's got to only be 4 months. Rav Yosef Cairo, number two on the sheet, and this is also a repeat from 2 weeks ago, he says, Yamim Hushana Shlema, said, no, he said, actually, it's over a year. So he says it has to be a year and 4 months, right? All right, the numbers don't fit in. So that's when we discussed last time how it works. Now, what do we see from this pasuk, right? I want to now take the pasuk we just read and look back at the pasuk from 2 weeks ago. Does this sound like he was only there 4 months, or he's there for longer?
Based on what the king is saying, it sounds like he's there a long time.
Right, he says
more than 4 months.
Right, and he says ze shanim. Right, he says ze yamim o ze shanim. The days, the years he's been with me. So the Radak in number 3 says, "Oh, Zeshanim, hello, lo hayayim arba chadashim." What's he talking about? He's only was with him 4 months, according to Rashi, right? That's the standard count. So what's he talking? The years he was with me. Kamoshe pri Rashnu elo pirusho hayayim zeyamim vani makir letovo kilo hayayim zeshanim. He's been with me only a matter of days, but I know him so well, like we've been buddies for years. I know this guy perfectly. Trust me. He's one of ours. The Rid, however, says not the way. Oshanim shekvar nichnas l'shnatayim. This is already the second year he's with me. So what opinion is he following? Right, number 4 is following number 2. Right, Tvayim Yosef Karo. Right. So again, the same disagreement we had 2 weeks ago comes back now in trying to understand what Achish is saying, right? Is he saying that he was actually with me for years?
Or it just feels like that.
Just feels like that. Interesting, the Malbim is tends to be the peacemaker. So the Malbim here says as follows. If you take a look at number 5, he says that the Malbim asks lots of questions. Masha kasher sha'ito yamim oshanim. That doesn't make sense. Was he there days? Was he there years? Make up your mind. And also, and either way, he was only there for 4 months. So that's what the Malbim's asking. So he answers as follows. He says, yes, he's only been here for a small amount of time now. A matter of days, a matter of weeks, a matter of months.
But?
However, Vashu Yamim Varba Chadashim. He said, remember years ago he ran away to me?
Yeah, the first time.
Right, there was a first time. There's a first time he ran. They were about to kill him because he killed Goliath. So he made himself a little cuckoo in the head and then he got out. Right, so he said, yeah, he's only been with me for now for a few months, but our relation goes back years. Right, but yeah, I know him. I know him for now. We're tight. But so that's what the Malbim says. The Malbim says he can understand it as years, you know, how, even though he's only been there at this point for 4 months. Okay, so those are the different approaches. So Achish says, no problem with this guy. So even though Achish is a pretty trusting guy, the other members of his posse, not so much. Oh, Dalad. So he says, "Vayitzefu alav sarei plishtim, vayomru lo sarei plishtim." Hashem es ha'ish v'yashov al mekamo, Hashem kadet tol sham, v'lo yeredi banu b'melchama, v'yelanu b'lesatana b'melchama. But vayitzezel, I don't know. Of Russia and Shemaim, he says, "You know what? What I'd really rather," he says, "is I'd really rather if he would go back where he came from." Oh, because they said, listen, if he wants to make sure we're happy, there's no way to make her happy than to go up with our heads. If somebody has noise in the background, they can mute. Thank you. So they turn around and say, Achish, we're not as excited about this as you are. Remember this? This is the guy who they used to sing songs that said, Shaul kills thousands, but David kills tens of thousands. That's the actual tune.
Work on that.
Yeah. Madison Avenue came up with it. So he said, "Vayikra achish al David, vayomer elav chay Adonai ki yasher atav v'tov be'einai v'tzeisol v'acha iti b'machane ki lo matzi v'cha ra miyom bo'acha elai ad hayom hazeh u've'einai asanim lo tov atav." He said, "I swear," he said, "you are the greatest guy. You have never done me wrong, David. I trust you 100%. However, my cabinet doesn't really quite share my thoughts on this. Therefore, Zayin, v'atashuv alech b'shalom v'los aser rabbe nesan e'plishin. Do me a favor. How about you head home now? Take a powder. And with that, you know, my people will be happier." David says, Forsooth, I think was the direct quote. "My younger David alachish, he mail sisi, my matzasi of the Chum Yoma Shev Yisrael, Venechar, a Yoma Zekilo, a Vovino Chabi, Oive Adon Yamel." He said, "What have I ever done wrong that I should not be given the opportunity to fight on behalf of my beloved king?" Oh, he's good. So Achish says, "Listen, buddy, I feel your pain." He said, You are perfect in my book. What am I gonna do? I'm a politician. I gotta keep the people, you gotta give the people what they want. Therefore, first thing in the morning, I need you and your people to pack up and go back to the land of the Plishtim, where you came from. What's David going to do? Vayashkim David huva neshav lalechas baboker lashuv el eretz Plishtim uFlishtim alu Yisrael.
So basically, he's telling him to go back to the land of the Philistines.
Right.
Yes. What was David going to do in the army with Achish? What was he going to do up in the front line?
We don't know. He would have been in a very uncomfortable position. This was quite the lucky break for him. That's for sure. Right. This is mazel that again, or you call it mazel yad Hashem, whatever it was. This was the break that he needed. This was the break that he got. Okay. That is the end of Parakhav Tess. As I said, it's a very short, you just have this one back and forth between David and Achish, so we will at least start Perek Lamed, because Marsha, did you read that article?
Which one?
One of the sheets, you know.
Oh, here.
Did you know what it was? So we have here, interestingly, the very last part. We'll do it a little later. Just give you a heads up. That's an article from Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the date on it?
No. This month.
Last week. It was last week. I saw it.
Right. What? Well, again, the Jerusalem Post published it last week.
Oh,
actually.
It was originally written.
Right. There was a follow up. Unbelievably, right. I just gave the older piece of it but in fact, believe it or not, this parak made it into the paper this week. What are the odds?
Are we going to read this?
We will, but first we have to figure out what we're reading about.
Ziklag.
Where's
they got it? Like Ziggy.
Well, Marsha, can you read in English for us the first verse in chapter 30? You can read it in English for us.
In English.
In the book that's on your lap.
Chapter 30, the first
verse.
This isn't the beginning. This is to hold on. It happened that when David and his men arrived in Ziklag.
Ziklag? Where did I hear that before?
It sounds like Ziggy to me, that we got Ziggy from Ziklag. Where did they get a name?
I thought from Siegfried, I think they got it from.
Okay.
Siegfried? I thought that's where it's from.
Siegfried.
Yeah. Okay.
It happened that when David and his men arrived in Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekite, is how would you say it?
That sounds great.
They had spread out to the south and to Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag
and burned it with fire.
Oh, my goodness.
They captured the women in
it. Okay, well, so that's really the second. Yeah.
Oh, is that the second? Sorry.
That's the second.
Okay, well, it's getting interesting.
Right, got a little carried away there. Okay, yeah. So what happens is, so David's got to go back, right? He gets sent home. So where is home for him at this point? What?
Well,
no,
Philistines.
He's with the Philistines. And what's the name of his city? I give you a hint. It's long for Ziggy.
Huh?
It's long for Ziggy.
Ziklag?
Correct.
Oh, is that where Achish was from?
Now, that's, remember, Achish was living in the main city, but he sent David and his people to live in the suburbs, in the city of Ziklag.
Oh, that was, so right. What was the main city?
Right.
What was the main
city? So there were five main cities we spoke about. Okay. So, okay. So David goes back to Ziklag, and because you know there's a because he had traveled from there up until the front, right in Afek, right, and now he's got to come back. So he comes back. He bevod David vanoshav Ziklag byom hashlishi vaAmalek pashu el haNegev vel Ziklag vaYakov es Ziklag vaYisrofu osa beish. That the city of, while they were gone, so again they were, remember, there were 600 men. And they had their women and their children they had left behind, obviously, and all this stuff. And David, remember, he had two wives at this point. And all of a sudden, there is an attack. And the Amalekites come, the Amalekim, we don't like Amalek at all. And they went and they wiped out the city while the men were away.
So were David's family there?
Yes. If you take a look at it, let's read on.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Just did.
I have a question.
Oh, okay, let's hear it.
The question is, just a few years ago, Sheol took care of Amalek except for the king.
That is an excellent question. That's an excellent question. Is a question.
What's he saying?
What? He wants to know the following. He wants to know, wait a second. Didn't Sheol just a few years ago wipe out all of the Amalekites?
Except for one
pregnant woman. What did she produce in the last 2-3 years?
Litters of kitty cats.
Let's say she had 1,000 kids.
Oh, 10,000.
Right, they would still be around 1 year old. Even if I gave in on that and that minor issue, right? Right. Even if she was multiplying like rabbits.
This was Saul's issue. Fault here.
Right. Well, so that's an excellent question that the cantor is.
That is. So what's the story with that?
So we're going to, let's just do a few more, and we will deal with that question. Well, let's get. So what happens? They come back and they see destruction. They went, they took the women and children with them. They didn't kill anybody. They took them all captive. They didn't kill them. They just took them captive. And they burnt the city and they took wherever they wanted. They show up, they see the city has been burnt to the ground and the women and children have been taken captive.
So he took all the men with him, the 600 soldiers went with him. So there really weren't men there to
protect,
defend them.
Right.
Oh, that happened a lot of city towns in Europe during the war. Stalin got, because he started like year 16 or 15, but it may be 14, and to go in the army, and there weren't any men when the
protect.
Germans came. Yeah.
So.
That was repeated, wasn't it?
So Vayisa David Vam Asherito as Kalam Vayivku Adashe Aimbem Kalahukos. And they cried until there were no more tears to cry. Ushtainish David Nishbu Achinoma Israelis Vavigal Aishis Navala Carmeli. And besides everything else, David's two wives, Achinoam and Avigail, they both also were taken captive. Now Cantor Cole asked an excellent question. He said, well, where did all the Amalekim come from? Great question. So we're going to give two approaches to it. If you remember, when we learned about the destruction of Amalek, we said that Amalek had to be destroyed, but not just the people, even the animals. So the question is, why do we destroy the animals?
Yeah, that's a little, it's getting a little weird.
What?
Because God said so.
That's always the answer. But is there a logic behind it? So it's interesting. Rashi gives an answer. He gives an answer when we read about it in the Chumash. He gives an answer when we read about it in Shmuel. And they're both different answers, oddly enough. Take a look at number 6. It says, Timcha Zecher Amalek. It says, Me ish vad isha me olel vad yonek mishor vad seh. Rashi, again, it doesn't say in the Chumash you have to wipe out the animals. It only says it in the Navi. It says there, it says you have to wipe out men, women, children, even infants, even cattle, even sheep. Why? So Rashi there says, Shelo yehi shem Amalek nizkar afilu al behema. Lomar behema zeshel zu shel Amalek haisa. That it should be the point that no one should even turn around and say, that animal used to belong to Amalek. Right? We are
really grinding them into the dirt.
Meaning that we want to wipe out any memory, period. Right? So therefore you shouldn't even be able to say that used to belong to Amalek. No. That's done. Rashi, however, on the actual pasuk in Shmuel, says Mishor Vatzeh, Shehayu Barik Shafim Umeshanim Atzma V'Domim LeBehema. He says because the Amalekites were shapeshifters and they could disguise themselves as animals.
I heard that.
Well, again, Shaul didn't have to know it. Shaul was just told, wipe them out.
Or again, themselves as animals.
Now, which answer are you more comfortable with? Are you more comfortable saying that God said wipe them out because we should have no remembrance of them?
A.
Or because that they are shapeshifters?
A.
So I think, I'm not sure, but I think Patty might be leaning slightly towards the first opinion.
What are you saying?
So I would probably agree with that, naturally. However, the second answer does answer our question here.
Where did they come from?
Right?
They came out of the cattle.
Right. So all of a sudden they had a cow and the cow. Right. So
the
this.
Animals are saying that, because the animals that they did kill, they took to sacrifice it. So that thing, all those animals broke free and ran away.
Well, some of them didn't. Some of the animals might have been animals. So it's interesting that is. One approach.
Is that the explanation? That they had shape-shifted into animals and therefore they're available now to wipe out a city?
So again, that would answer the question. Yes. Now, that might not be your favorite answer, so therefore we give you another answer.
Oh.
A second. I'm not so good at math.
Next one.
Now, this isn't an answer why we're not wiping out the animals. It's an answer as to where did these people come from.
Right. That's the
truth. Right. So if you look at number 8, Rav Moshe Schoenbach in his Modim Muzmanim, he's also bothered by this question. He has another question as well.
Is he modern by any
chance? He's still alive.
That's pretty modern.
I mean, but he's not. He doesn't have a smartphone.
Okay.
So he's not that modern.
He's so modern.
Right. He is currently the head of the Eid Haredis in Yerushalayim.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Yes.
What is he?
So he comes to this actually from a different angle. So what's going to happen here is a little spoiler alert, is Dov is going to come back, he's going to fight, he's going to get everything from, he's going to wipe out Amalek, all those people, and take away whatever they had. And he's going to divide it among his people. He says, well, if this is the animals of Amalek, why didn't Dov have to wipe it out?
The first time around.
No, this time around, right?
You would think it would, based on...
If Shaul had to do it.
Exactly.
If Shaul had to do it, why doesn't David have to do it? Why does David get to keep it?
Right.
That's a pretty good question.
That's a good question.
So he answers as follows. He says that you have to understand the nature of the obligation to wipe out Amalek. He said there is an obligation not to wipe out each individual member of Amalek, but there's a mitzvah to wipe out the entirety of Amalek. So if I cannot wipe out all of Amalek, I don't have an obligation to wipe out any of Amalek.
seems really backwards.
Not really. Again, there is a mitzvah to wipe out all remembrance, all mention of Amalek, period. But, right? Let's say I had, there was a mitzvah to wipe out all Canadians.
All right.
Right? Let's say, right? And I see a Canadian walking down the street.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
If I take that Canadian out, mm-hmm. will that in any way fulfill the...
No.
Not at all. Right? So it's the same thing here. There is an obligation to wipe out all Amalekim, all Amalekites. To kill one of them is like killing a Canadian. It might be enjoyable. Right? It might be help the world somehow or another, but again, it does not do it. So that's the argument. That's what he's saying. He said that the mitzvah, the commandment to wipe out Amalek, is not a commandment to wipe out individual members of Amalek, but to wipe them all out. And the idea being that when Shaul dilly dallies
the first time.
That allowed some to escape. They escaped, they spread out, and therefore, this was a rare opportunity to wipe out the, it happened to be at the time of Shaul, all of Amalek was in one place. And therefore, he had the opportunity to wipe out the entirety. Once he blew it, there's nothing for David to do, because they have now spread out again. And therefore, there's no longer a mitzvah to wipe out individual Amalekim. There's no mitzvah to wipe out their animals, because at the end of the day, you're not going to get the job done. So to hear, the idea was that Shaul, in the time that he dilly-dallied, some escaped people. What?
The people spread out
in the army. So they had the opportunity to go and regather their troops, and yeah. Now again, this is an, what are we talking about, an army? This is just, you know, some guerrilla warfare, a bunch of guys who attacked, in our case, a city that wasn't protected. Right? And we'll see they destroyed other cities as well. But again, they weren't taking on nations.
So many, like 100 warriors come in.
Right.
City.
Right. You know, that's what it was. So that is the second approach. The second approach to Cantor Cole's question is that, in fact, that when Shaul didn't do the job, he says, the proof being, he said, because when Shmuel eventually kills Agag, he doesn't get up and say, I am now going to be Mekayim the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek, right? Instead, he makes a statement, like, just like your sword has, you know, has made women into widows, so too now your mother will become childless. Right, so what was that announcement? Why didn't you just say, "Hinni Muchen Mezuman"? I hereby get ready. The answer was, it was too late at that point. So this is another approach as to where did the Amalekim come from?
Okay, so
which is a very good question.
It seems to me though that Shaul didn't do the job the first time; that was bad enough. And here's a terrible outcome from not having, besides the other stuff that was no good.
Right.
So now, since there are these random Amalekites, do we still have Amalekites today somewhere randomly?
We believe yes.
And where? Who and where are they?
The Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Really?
May their memory be wiped out.
Yeah. The Oakland Raiders.
For Marsha, it's the Oakland Raiders. Okay. There we go. Spoken like a true Broncos fan.
There you go.
Right.
Seriously though, are we?
We believe that there are. Yeah,
Syrian, or have they?
So it's a good question where they are. There, we have, I think, mentioned before that there are two categories of Chaim Soloveitchikas of Amalek. One is there's biological Amalek. There are some people out there that happen to be descendants of the original Amalek, and then there also are philosophical Amalek. Anyone who is committed to the wiping out of the Jewish people, that person gets. Even if they were Jewish, they could be an Amalekim. Okay. So
didn't mean to belabor it. I just never thought of it earlier.
Yeah, so that's the story. So here they are back. So obviously people are very upset at this point, understandably so. So Pasuk Vav.
Captured.
What?
His wife is now dead.
All of them have lost their wives, their children, you know. So Pasuk Vav. Vateitzer leDavid Ma'od, ki amru am lissaklo. Ki mara nefesh kolam, ish al banav al benosa, vayishazik David badanay olav. The people were so upset. They said, what idiots. We are following David. We're going to war. We're not going to war. It's because of him. Our entire families have been wiped out. Let's stone David. So David doesn't back down. David, he's got God on his side. So Yomer David alav Yasser HaKohen ben Achimelech Hagisha Nali HaEfod Vayagish Av Yasser Asa Eifed al David. He said, bring me the Urim V'tumim. Vayishal David Badonoy Lemor Erdof Achrei HaGudud Hazeh Ha'asi Genu. So he asked Scott, he said, should we run after them? If we run after them, will we catch them? And he said, you'll catch them, you'll be successful.
That's quite a
fact. Okay. So he goes and he takes 600 men with him, and he leaves everyone else behind to protect the area. Should have thought of that the first time, you think. So of the 600, 400 go to war, 200 stay back. That's going to be important. They find a random Egyptian guy on the road. What are you doing there? So they give him something to eat or something to drink. They give him a little fig, a little raisin, some drink, because this guy hadn't eaten or drank in 3 days. He said, what's your deal, buddy? He said, well, you know, I am in Mitzri, I'm a slave for an Amalek. I got sick and he abandoned me 3 days ago to die. There's no way to make friends.
He's just a slave.
That's it. Bad investment. Anachnu Pashatnu Negev HaKresi V'al Asher HaYehuda V'al Negev Kolei V'al Tziklos Rafnu V'esh. He said, yeah, you know, we had gone from city to city. And, you know, you see it wasn't just Amalekis, but they had other people with them. And he says, you know, when we attack certain cities in Yehuda and certain ones in the Negev, and he mentions that among the cities that we went to was Ziklag. And we burnt it down to the ground. Vayomer Elav David, Hasoridani Ela Gedura Zeh, Vayomer Yishav Riv Elohim Im Tmiseni Im Tazkreni Biad Adoni Va'oridcha Ela Gedura Zeh. He said, can you take us to them? He said, if you swear you're not going to kill me and you're not going to give me over to him, you've got a deal. Let's just catch up a little bit on the sources. We've gotten a little ahead of ourselves here. So the Medrash comments, we'll just do it outside in number 9, that it contrasts the terrible depression that David has here, seeing that his wives had been taken, right? And how life works, that's going to turn around at the time that he's going to take the Aron back to Yerushalayim, when he is the king, he's going to have that tremendous amount of simcha, right? You know, the words are similar.
So in other words, this is a comparable sorrow to the simcha.
Correct, right. Right, the Gemara in Yuma learns from here different rules about how to ask from the Urim V'tumim, right? So that's just good to know. And in number 11 is a source just to talk about what to do to somebody who's dying of starvation, how it is you possibly bring them back. Right, so again, this is used as a source for that.
Can we go back to the,
is that because of the Egyptian who was on
correct?
His last,
correct. Yes.
When he consults and gets the answer, yes. Do the people hear that? Is that a
no?
Or it's a private.
It's interesting that you know what happens is that the
stones
light up,
right?
Like kind of that game Simon, and then you have the Kohen has to read it. Right. So again, there's no heavenly voice to be heard.
Okay.
Just a matter of the stones lighting up.
So all of these angry people who want to stone him to death, does he in other words, convey that that's, or not, it's all private.
No, so he goes, he calls over, and they all watch, and they all watch him ask, and they all watch the Cohen say.
It's a public event.
Right.
That's what I was asking. Is it public or private?
Right. I mean, there's nothing to be heard, but
right.
They get the message.
So that must quell their feeling.
Well, they go along with him. So the person says, only if you swear to me. The Meshech Chachmon points out very interestingly, we never see David swear. Right? If you look at verse number.
So he asked, but there's no response.
Right? He says, if you swear to me, then the next pasuk, Tazayin says,
It just seems a Jewish thing to do. What? That you don't really need it. You don't need the
confirmation. Well, usually you have it, right? For example, like what are other examples we have? So let's look at the second chapter of Yehoshua when you have the two spies and Rachel Hazona, right? She says, "I'll protect you if you swear to save me and my family." And they, in fact, turn around and swear.
I didn't remember that. Right? Okay.
So the Meshech Chachma number 12. Points out that halachically a person is not allowed to give a slave back to their master.
Really? Well, that's what I'm saying. It seems like Jewish thing to do.
So therefore, you're not allowed to swear to keep a mitzvah. Because that is a useless oath.
Ah, okay. I get that.
Right. So therefore, he said that's why he actually didn't swear to him.
It's just a given.
Right. He said, I don't got to swear. We don't do that. Right. We don't give people over. So that's an interesting note that he picks up that there's never is an indication that he swore.
Even a Jewish slave, you don't give back to the owner.
So in fact, he takes them there, and there they are. They're just partying away because they are eating, drinking, and being merry even after 10 o'clock. Without proper social distancing.
And what about masks?
And being that they were Amalekim, some of them were not even wearing masks.
Good.
Which is why they have to be wiped out. No. They're a danger to the rest of us.
Get rid of them.
So they're having this wild party with all the stuff they took from the land of the Plishtim and from the land of Yehuda. David, of course, does not stand for this. David says, so 400 people make a run for it, but everyone else gets killed.
Yeah, that's still a lot.
So there is a strange Rashi. I bring it to here in number 13 because what you say is correct. It says that everybody knows the song, Esav is coming with Yaakov, Davins to Hashem, by Yishrach Yaakov Malachim Lefanov. I know it's the 9 days. No? So, at Parshas VaYishrach, when Esav is coming to meet up with Yaakov, remember Yaakov separates his camp, etc., he has 400 men with him.
Okay.
Eventually, there is no fight. And it says that you know, Esav goes back to Har Seir,
right?
And Yaakov goes to Sukkos. So the question is, whatever happened to the 400 men?
It he says ran he ran away on the camels.
No, the 400 that Esav showed up with 400 men, right? And then he leaves alone. So where did the 400 men go?
I always assumed they went with him.
Doesn't say that. So if you look at number 13. Rashi says, Esav went back. Doesn't say anything about his 400 men. It says he came with 400 men. So Rashi says, Esav levado. Esav went back by himself. The other 400, one at a time, kind of just dropped out.
Wait, let's back up a little bit. Esav says to him, come with me, you know, let's bring your fish. I assume that meant let's all go back together.
Right.
Which, of course, Yaakov doesn't do.
Right. And not only that, but his men slowly get lost on the way. Because basically, on the way back. After they see Yaakov and they see Esau, they say, you know, I think we might be on the wrong team here.
So, like, I understand the first couple, even if there's hundreds, but like the last.
At some point, you have to notice how there's only.
Exactly. How is it that Esau leaves his people behind?
Well, yeah, they're leaving him behind. It's kind of like, is that a squirrel? What?
Oh, you're gone. Saying they drop off.
They drop off, correct.
That's a lot of people
lose
it. Once.
Right. You know, people misplace things. It happens. So it says, V'heichon paro lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this was the right thing to do, to abandon Esau after seeing Yaakov is admirable. So where did Hashem pay them back? B'yemei David, Shneemar, ki im arba meos ish nar asher rachva al gemalim. These are the 400 people who get to survive. It is very difficult to take this literally.
Really?
Right? So you have to discuss what we're talking about. It's an odd Rashi, but again, it puts it together.
I think he's trying to make pieces fit.
It's an odd one. But again, it's very hard to take literally.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It also means that we have these Amalekites floating around the world.
Yeah. Okay. I think we do. I don't think we've wiped them out yet. Okay. All right. So David goes and gives them a solid beating. Yudches vayatzel David is kol asher rochu amolek v'ashtei nashav yitzil David. David gets back everything that was taken, including his wives. Lo neda nereem in akotan v'aragodol v'arabonim v'arabonus mishavol v'alkol asher rochu lehem hakol heishu David. Men, women, children, right, spoils, everything David gets back.
It seems like a weird order. But, I mean, I could be reading it wrong, but it sounds like it says David got back the booty and the wives. We've seen this before, but usually we look down on it. We do.
Well, again, it there's no indication he did it specifically in that order.
It's just listing it in that order.
So again, you read it closely, it's not that. It says, right? It says Mikatonu ad gadol va'ad banim uvanos. Right, it says everybody from big to small. Right, it's probably the wives and the children. Well, the right, and then and the shalal.
Right,
no, again.
David recovered everything that.
Oh, you say and his wives.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Rescued his wives, and then it goes on to give further explanation
okay.
about so, everything that was missing right. and everybody great to small. And
bottom line is, he gets everything back. Now, beyond that, remember, this wasn't the only city that they ransacked. Right? They've been ransacking cities up and down.
The Amalekites.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So David gets everything else. He gets all of this.
All the spoils.
All the spoils. And he announces, and this is mine.
All of it was his?
That's what he said. That's what he says. Vayavo David el Masayim Hanashim Asher Pigru Milechas Acharei David. Vayishivu Menachal Habasar. Vayetzu Likras David Likras Ha'am Asher Itov. Vayigash David Asher Ha'am. Yisrael Lehem
V'Shalom.
I close it later. I just let the air out.
Right, but don't.
Larry, if you can mute yourself, please.
They can look right in from the car.
So if you remember, there were 200 people that were.
They actually found the site he's talking about now for the 10th century BCE.
So he announces everything is his. Now he comes back. Remember, only 400 of the 600 went to war. Now the 200 are back.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
It feels like there's one passage missing, which is he gets everything back for everybody, and they're. Grateful or thank you, David, for getting all of our people back.
Right, because we haven't gotten back yet. Right, right now, we're so far we've only focused on the 400 people who went to war. Remember this. Right, there's 200 people also who are back who their women, children, also.
But I'm saying that the 400 were aggravated with him too. I mean, they the 600 wanted to stone him.
Right, right. So let's okay. go on and see how things play out. So, what happens is. So the people, the 200 said, how did it go?
Really well.
Thanks for your support. Vayan kol ishra u'bliyam, me'anashim u'shehochu in David, vayomu, The people said, well, no thanks to you, it went well. You know, if it's up to us, here's your wife and here's your kids, and that's all what you're getting. That's not how we act. Today, God was good to us. We're going to be generous. He said, people who went to war, people who stay back, they should evenly divide what we have gotten. And that, in fact, remains the rule to this day. In the effect, there is a war, we divide it among all soldiers, whether they're on the front lines or they're keeping the supply lines going, everybody gets equally. This is referred to also in Rashi early in Chumash, when there is the war of the four kings versus the five kings. That's pretty early, right? So in that war, we have here a, at the end, Avram says that not only the people who went to war, but even the people who stay back on Eshkol and Mamre, he said they also, and he said this is in fact that was the source from where David learned this from. In fact, this pasuk and this Rashi, maybe I'll discuss it afterwards. Doesn't have to be here. Helped me graduate law school. I probably would not have graduated law school without these verses over here. I'll tell you this. Let me just finish up here, and then we can discuss it offline. So, Vayava David El Tzikra Vayishar Me'ashalol Zignei Yehuda Le'Rei Le'mor Hinei Rochem Brochem Yishlo Le'Vei Adonai. He then goes up and down the cities of Yehuda that were attacked, and he starts giving stuff back. He says, "I got a gift for you." La'Shev Beitel, La'Shev Ramot Negev, La'Shev Yatir, and they start listing off the cities, right? Beitel, Ramot Negev, Yatir, Bashir Ba'Arer, Al Sif, La'Shev Bis. Bisifmos, Vasheb Eshtamoa, Vasheb Rachol, Vasheb Are Yerachmeiri, Vasheb Are Akeni, Vasheb Harma, Vasheb Har Oshen, Vasheb Atoch, Vasheb Chevron, Vasheb Homakoshe Salek, Shom David, Hu Vanashov. He goes and he says, this is all mine and I can do what I want with it. With that, he distributes it, right? Why does he do that? Because these were cities, it would seem, that were attacked.
No, I get
this
that.
But
what? But he has no allegiance to them.
No, but he thinks that this was theirs.
It was the right thing.
It was the right thing to do. Okay. Right? So that is the story of David. The article that I give you here is a recent article where they believe that the city of Ziklag has been found. Right? And this is the complete article. The biblical town of Ziklag may have been found. The team of Israeli and Australian archaeologists announced on Monday. The ruins were found near the southern town of Kiryat Gat. Right? Now, we said that there were five Plishti cities, and they are?
Ephron, Ashkelon, Ava, and
Ashdod. Right?
Ashdod and
Ashdod and Ashkelon were originally Philistine cities.
And Akko, too?
Akko, no. So again, Akko's in the north, right?
Oh.
Those are in the south. So again, it's not surprising that they said that it's next to Kiryat Gat, right? Kiryat Gat being one of the cities, right? That would be the areas. Having been dated to the early 10th century BCE, the time associated with King David. If they're right, it would bolster the theory David was more than just a local hilltop chieftain, as some researchers claim to support the theory he indeed ruled over the United Kingdom in the area of Judea. Say the researchers from the Israeli Antiquities Authority, the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, and Macquarie University in Sydney. And it goes through the discussion. It says, Ziklag is mentioned in the books of Joshua and Samuel as a Philistine town abutting the city of Gat. Right? So that's what we're saying. In the context, they point out the very name Ziklag stands on the biblical record because it isn't Semitic or Canaanite, but apparently a Philistine one. Apropos of that, recent genetic studies on skeleton discoveries in a Philistine cemetery in Ashkelon on the Israel's coast have proved once and for all that these mysterious roots were they originated in Europe. And then they give the story. David fell into favor. King Shaul, who allegedly tried to spear him, he fled to the Philistines. The Philistine king Achish of Gath allowed David to move to Ziklag, right? They became a base to build up his forces. Some prefer, or that David preferred to live at a distance from the accommodating Achish in order to keep his activity secret, right? This goes through the entire story that we've just read, right? And then it goes through the story of, in the next one, for his part, has experienced loss as the Amalekites, nomads from the south, attacked Ziklag in his absence. David rose up early and his men to depart in the morning to return to the land of Philistines. It came to pass, etc. Interesting, these days, even the minimalist camp of biblical archaeologists, which is not guided by scripture, but by their scientific discipline, agree that David did actually exist. Believe that this is actually news. Right? That in fact, it's, and if you're interested, you can read the entire article that this is the, this is in fact everything.
Interesting.
Right. So it happens to be that as fate would have it, that which we're learning now is in the news. And it happens to be an amazing coincidence, shall we perhaps say. I'll just tell you. What?
I have a question.
Yes.
Or observation, rather.
Okay, I'll think
about it. You know, when you ask Jewish sources, they come up with David living in the 8th century. This yes. tells us that, and I'm not going to argue at this point, that he lived in the 10th century before the Common Era.
Right.
BC.
Mm-hmm. Right. Again, there's a lot to be said about this. It's interesting. Last summer, if you remember, we had a fellow, Rabbi Yehuda Landi, came to speak to us. And he spoke about his book on the book of Jeremiah, the book of Yirmiyahu, and the archaeological support for that. So last week, he came out with a new book on the book of Yehoshua. And the support for that. So being that Ziklag is discussed in Yehoshua, again, he emailed me a picture of the book. I told him I very much want to see it. So hopefully, I don't know. But, you know, we discussed several things in the book. It remains. It was near the city of Gath.
And Gath was in the south.
South, correct.
But we don't know near what.
No, we don't really know.
Okay.
So the story from law school is follows. The last course I took in law school, the one I needed to graduate, was a course in admiralty. The law of the sea. And I didn't really attend much. I wasn't very good at attendance. And they had a question on the final, and I wasn't particularly... What? And there was, and one of the questions on the final, which was like the question, was that there's a general law in the sea that if there is a sinking ship, and another ship comes and rights the ship, the one that rights the ship is entitled to half of the booty, of the value of the ship. The question becomes as follows. What if there's a sinking ship and the people jump off the ship, right? Because it's sinking ship. And then two ships come by and one picks up the people and the other one straightens the ship. Who gets what? On the one hand, it's far more dangerous to straighten the ship than to take on people. Because a ship could drag you down, right? So therefore, on the other hand, if we say you only get paid for the straightening of the ship, you'll have two ships going to straighten the ship while the people drown. And that's a very bad public policy. So the question is, what is the law in that case? What do you do?
You split it among all the people.
So why should it be evenly split, right? One boat took on danger and the other didn't.
But they're part of the same thing. That's why you got right here, David and Miller.
So that's what I said. What I answered was, I said, listen, I don't really know what the law is, I'll be honest with you. But I know what David HaMelech did, and I know what Avram Avinu did. Right? They said, Chel ke chel ke chel
yachokum.
What? It's interesting. So the professor who taught the course was... Professor Charles Black.
Oh my.
Charles Black was not Jewish.
Any relation to Black?
And he was not Black either.
He wasn't Black either, but he was one of the attorneys on Brown versus Board of Education.
What?
He together with Jack Greenwald and Bill Young, all the members of the Columbia faculty were all on the Brown side, shall we say? So. he ended up marrying a Jew, an Orthodox woman, an Orthodox Jewish woman, and his inn was actually sat shiva over it.
And really? His what?
His inn was sat shiva.
Really? Because she it's didn't marry.
Right. Uh-huh. Give him credit. So,
I thought you were
going to be
converted, maybe.
No, not even a little bit. So, a good man. So, I wrote this as the answer. I said, look, state in Shmuel Aleph. I graduated. And now look where I am.
I just want to know.
Yes.
Do you need to end this?
Well, the men who were the teenagers who escaped from Ziklag when David went back.
I think we're just gonna log off now, and we'll continue everyone's questions. Okay, see everyone next week. If I can figure out how to do this.
What happened to the
Alan? I have no idea what I'm doing.
Neither do I. I'm working on it.
Okay, good.
Shriver, keep on working.
Yeah. Oh, you sound like my wife.
When you figure it out, by the way, I saw the pictures of your kids while you sent the message.
So, from Eliana's wedding.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
So, are you a Zadie yet or not?
Yeah, I'm a Zadie.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Eliana.
You got a boy or a girl? What do you got?
We have a girl. Her name is Amuna Sarah.
Amuna Sarah.
Now, Amuna Sarah bought Alter Yehuda Yitzchak.
Well, Alter Yehuda Yitzchak.
Yeah. That's her dad. Okay. I'm going to see if I can figure out how not
to share. Did you know that stands for Ayayay? Alter Yehuda Yitzchak. Ayayay.
There you go. No more sharing.
All right.
All right, Cantor.
Stay well.
You too. Have a good week and a good Shabbos.
They are good Shabbos.
And
Shabbos is another 4 days. Have a good Rosh Chodesh, by the way.
Yeah. Good Rosh Chodesh. Have an easy fast if I don't. Oh, we'll see you next week, probably.
Not see. Well, yeah. Well, and are we having class?
I believe so. We have to finish more. So we'll see, I guess. We'll see.
Where is the head honcho today?
The boss.
Shlomo.
I thought you were talking about my wife. I don't know. He said he's got other things to do. So I don't know. I'm not privy to Shlomo's life.
Okay.
All right. Well, Kanta, have a great week.
Are they doing a video on Mailer teaching the daf in the morning or not?
I don't know. You could ask Shlomo that. They should. They should zoom it.
All right.
Okay, cool.
When you find out, let me know.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.